Congressman Brett Guthrie is on the line with us. He represents Kentucky's 2nd District. Welcome back, Congressman.
Hey, good afternoon, Terry. Sorry I missed last week.
Oh, no worries. We're glad to have you on.
Well, good. It's always good to be here. Yeah, actually leaving D.C. in just a couple of minutes to head back to Kentucky.
Okay, very good. So
good.
Did you attend the inauguration, or were you there?
No, I did attend. I know some people just couldn't because there were some logistics with COVID testing and so forth. And some people didn't, just chose not to. I thought it was important, too. It's a symbol. I think Congress hosts the ceremony. I was upset when people, or I was disappointed, I guess, if people didn't come 4 years ago because they didn't approve of President Trump. And there were several Democrats that chose to do that. I thought it was wrong then. And I said, I can't be a hypocrite. That's one thing I'll never be. So I was there myself.
Here's Senator McConnell. He's talking about things over on the Senate side. I just want you to hear this clip since we're all talking about unity and so forth.
So our side is ready to share ideas and work with the Biden administration, applying common sense to find common ground for the common good. But if and when our Democratic friends depart from common sense, when they retreat from common ground, when their proposals would harm the common good, then we'll use the power the American people have given us to push for what we think.
What happened to that phrase, to the winner goes the spoils? If you have the majority, then you are the leading edge of societal change. But Senator McConnell makes it sound like it's an even Steven deal. Even though the count's 50-50 in the Senate, you guys over in the House have tightened the numbers. But the Democrats control all three branches of government, so shouldn't they be able to forge policy with Republicans just throwing in their kind of about what about this or don't forget this sort of
input? Well, I
don't
think that we were elected to go just to win. I think people made their decisions in my district, and I represent the ideas of the people in my district. And there are many things we can work together on. And the question is, are they going to – I don't think that the people on Election Day, when – we went from, I think, 198 seats to 212. You know, there's only a 5-0 difference in the House. It's an even split in the Senate. I don't think that was a vote for single-payer health care, for turning back our economy because of climate change issues or so forth. There are things in health care we can fix. Medicare Part D, we're seniors. They have out-of-pocket expenses. We can fix things like that. Price transparency, when you go to the doctor or the hospital, you actually know what you're paying. Those kind of things I think we can do, and we're willing. I think that's where he's talking about those kind of issues. But if it's a big move to the left where I don't think the American people want it to go, then it's our duty to stand up for our constituents and the people that elected us as well. You know, when they don't elect just one party to have one party rule, even when they have control of the House and the Senate and the presidency. We need to find ways. We can't just be against everything, even when it's beneficial to the country, just because it comes from a Democrat president. I think that's what he was saying.
Okay. Yeah, that's all I wanted to know. Since there was a sea change, if you will, in the power structure, I was just wondering how much you felt like a spectator versus a participant, but you answered.
Well, the problem in being the spectator is that it's true in the fact that with them having the chairmanships, even with the 50-50 Senate, they'll have all the chairmanships because of the vice president's vote. And so they get to call the plays. They get to say what comes up and what moves forward. And I've talked to, I just got appointed the ranking Republican of a very important committee in Congress, health care. So all of the COVID, all the things dealing with health care, I've talked to my chairwoman and said, let's find ways to work together. But if they want to go single payer or a lot of things I think will hurt health care, from my view, then we can't work together. But there are many things we can work together on, and they'll get to make the decision. Do we bring up issues that has bipartisan support? Not unanimous. There's not going to be unanimous for everything, but at least some ability to be bipartisan. Or are they going to bring up issues that are purely from the left playbook, which will be struggle to get out of the Senate anyway, even with a 50-50 tie? And so hopefully they'll choose to govern. I think that was the tone of what the vice president said. Or now president. I'm sorry, still calling Vice President Biden. I guess President Biden said on his inaugural speech. And hopefully that's what they'll try to do in Congress.
Okay, to the vaccines, President Biden says the death toll could be 500,000 people by next month. It's going to take months for us to turn things around. In terms of vaccine distribution, we're able to mobilize the National Guard, like, say, to guard Washington, D.C., where you are. How come we can't apply that to the distribution of vaccines or add more muscle to increase the speed of distribution of vaccines?
Well, I'm absolutely open to any way that we can get the vaccine out to people. We always thought the biggest struggle would be getting the number of vaccines available, but we've had good production. There's always hiccups when you have something this massive, this quick, of getting the production out. Fortunately, they're safe and effective, and we haven't any problems with that. But I'm willing, and I'm now the ranking Republic on that subcommittee that will oversee it. I am certainly willing to look at any way possible we can expand the opportunities for people to get not just the vaccine distributed to a state, but implement. I know you have Governor Beshear coming on next. I'm willing to work with anybody in his administration, anybody on the other side of the aisle here in Washington, to make this come true.
You know that the healthcare workers oftentimes are lured to other states. Like here in Kentucky, we pay a phenomenal rate for people that are add-ons. I'm just going to use this phrase, Kelly services, but they're add-on folks, placement services, put nurses and so forth in there. But they can make triple that in, say, New York City. And so that's one of the issues we have is the staffing issue and the poaching of staff from states like Kentucky that don't pay as much.
You're right. It costs a lot more to live in New York and places like that. But you're right. We've got to, I think the market's going to have to work to balance out to bring more people into the healthcare field. One is not just even having the wages to get people there, but the slots in nursing schools and things that we need to work with state government to make sure we have access to. Because the biggest issue or the biggest fear that when you talk to people in healthcare, hospitals aren't necessarily bed capacity, but it's the staff. And you absolutely are hitting on something we need to work towards, finding better solutions for. It's staff being worn out, staff being sick, and those are the kind of things that you have to have. To have access to healthcare, you have to have people trained in the healthcare. And we need to look at how do we expand those slots, and particularly nursing, but also with physicians as well.
Which of President Biden, if not all of them or none of them, give you pause, the executive orders that he signed yesterday?
Well, you know, there's some of them. I need to really go through each one as he moved forward. I'm concerned he wants to get back into the Iran deal. I guess that was one that would concern me the most. That deals with foreign policy, dealing with Iran. Iran took a prisoner yesterday, or Inauguration Day, just to kind of show that you're a new administration and we're going to could not push you around. They even took the prisoner after the president-elect at the time said he was going to get back in the Iran deal. I don't think we can trust him. That's my biggest concern of all of the things that he did. Yes, sir. I mean, some of the things, signing executive orders saying we're going to have more shots available, Defense Production Act available. We are producing a lot of vaccines and a lot of the material. If he thinks he can get more private sector involved in moving forward by signing an executive order, I'm all for it. But so my biggest concern would be the Iran deal.
Okay.
We've already released the money. So how are we going to go back and do a deal after Iran's got all their money and they've been able to do what they've done? Matter of fact, Iran was misbehaving when we were still in the deal. And I think we had better control of them when we had sanctions on them. Unleashing their sanctions, in my opinion, is not going to make them behave better.
President Biden's picks, and we're running out of time here, but his picks for his cabinet that you're aware of thus far, do you feel like that's going to give a broad enough picture of all of America or just liberal America?
Well, it remains to be seen. A lot of them I don't know specifically. The one that I just went through, we just approved. We don't advise and consent in the House, as you know, so I haven't gone through them to the level that senators have, so that's a good question for them. One that we had to pass a waiver, which we just voted on, to allow a retired general who's been retired less than 7 years. We did it for Mattis. We just did it for General Austin. I've gone through his record. I think he's going to represent the Defense Department well. I think he's obviously qualified, a four-star general. West Point grad, so I take great pride in that. He went to Auburn, so maybe he knows what he's doing, and so I thought he was a good choice. Specifically, I don't know some of the others just other than what I've seen in the news, and we'll look forward to I'll have oversight of the Health and Human Services sector, so there's at least we just got to look at them as they come forward and see what we can do. But specifically, the only one that I've had any legislative responsibility for was Department of Defense, and I think he's going to be qualified.
Very good. Does he have a cool name like Mad Dog?
He does not. Not that I know. I don't know what his nickname is. His name is Lloyd.
Okay. So there's got to be one.
He's got to be a Mad Dog. If he's Lloyd Austin, General Lloyd Austin, who seems like to be a wonderful man. So, okay. But he does not have a name like Mad Dog that I know of.
Landmine Lloyd. They'll think of something, I'm sure. Congressman, great talking to you again.
Hey, great talking to you. Thanks, Terry. Thanks.
There's Kentucky Congressman Brett Guthrie.